Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together. All the nations of the earth now rejoice.
All the nations of the earth now rejoice.
All the people of God. That has breath shout for joy.
Everything that has breath shout for joy.
With everything that is beautiful
belongs to you.
And the heaven is the Lord. Everything is yours. Everything is yours. You are excellent.
Oh,
the heaven is the Lord. Everything is yours. Everything is yours. You are excellent.
You are now tuned in to OPM Live, where the ordinary is the extraordinary. I am your host, Verna V. Nickelberry, and tonight on the line, we have back with us for the third time, Mr. John P. Dennis. He is the author of Men Raised by Women, What They Won't Tell Mom. Are you on the line, sir?
I'm here.
Great, fantastic, fantastic. As we know, this is going to be a great show. Mr. Dent is such an excellent, how can I say it? Not only is he an excellent speaker, but I do love this book. It gives so much insight on boys raised by men, and he can really break it down to us. So, again, Mr. Dennis, if you don't mind telling our listening audience, we may have some new people on the line, a little bit about yourself, and you can tell us about the book, and we'll just go straight into the book and straight into the interview. How about that?
Okay, very good. And thank you. First, I owe you an apology. I got caught with the technological gremlins and missed our last one. And so to you and to the audience, I'm very sorry. I hate that I missed that. And so I'm here now. We'll see if we can go forward. But after growing up in a single parent home, my mom and dad divorced when I was 6 years old. I have two brothers. I'm the middle brother and a sister. So there were four of us in the household. And mom was raising the boys and her daughter by herself. And I just got a view up close of the struggles of single parenthood. And along with it, I encountered my own struggles that were related to not having that man and male figure in my life at home with me. And then as it got into my teen years, my uncle came into the picture and really invested in my brothers and I, mentoring us and making a difference. And then as I went off into the Air Force, more of the leaders in that environment began to mentor me, and I started growing. And so with that growth, I started mentoring other young men as I rose in rank. And then I began to volunteer in the prisons and then the work release centers and at the high schools. And I just got into the world of mentorship and trying to help young men. And what I came to understand was, one, I had an inside lane working with them because I understood the dynamics that are happening in the single-parent household. And I think God gave me a little gift to be able to communicate it on some levels that don't usually get looked at. And then when I got married, I became a father, and I have three sons as well. And so I got a chance to test and apply all of these things I had learned and worked with other young men on and still in my own sons. And I'm so proud of them. They're doing so well. Two of them, one in the Air Force, another in college, and the younger one will graduate in a year or so. I've since remarried, and my wife that I have now, she had a little guy in the house, and we were constantly discussing things, and she saw it, and I felt like it was the Lord working through her when she kept saying, "Honey, you should write a book. This is the single women in this arena really can't see what you're talking about." And so I sat down in October of 2014, and I started writing, and it started flowing. And I didn't know that I was doing something that was kind of uncommon, because I finished that book by May of 2015, and I released it in June of 2015. And it within the first 24 hours, it shot to number one on Amazon in the single parenting category. And so I realized that I was talking about something that was really touching so many lives, and I'm grateful for it. And so that's how we end up here today. That thing circulated all over the place, and it created opportunities for me to share across the country so far, from Georgia to Texas to California to New York. So I count it a blessing. I can share some things, and I get feedback that helps me feel confident that it's really helping families, which was my hope. So that's a good kickoff.
It is. It is a good kickoff. And as you were speaking, I thought about Father's Day. We just had Father's Day, so that just passed. And mm-hmm. You do know the biggest thing that's been on Facebook and everywhere else is single mom, today is not your day. You get
right.
Mother's Day. You don't get
right.
Mother Day and Father Day.
Right.
Although you may be the only parent in the house, you are not the father.
That's right.
So with that being said, and then you have a lot of comments as women cannot raise boys. Give us a little insight, perhaps a little bit on the first one, and then, you know, go into the part, you know, that statement, women just can't raise boys. What are your thoughts?
Well, I want to be fair to history, right? So, historically speaking, women have always raised all the children. Men have gone in cycles off to war. Men have gone in cycles in the Black community, moving north to pursue work. Even if you go further back, even in the terrible things of slave history, they were removing the members from the family. And even in our work culture, you may have parents all over the place. So it's not one stake in the ground to say women can't raise boys. What I hope to share is that there is a lineage of wisdom that comes from a heritage of having fathers in the family. And that wisdom gets passed down on how things should be done for boys and what things work for them, what things don't work for them. And many women do understand and they do know this, but they don't naturally know this. So it would come if you had a father that did well with you in the home and you were a young lady, you would see it, you would understand it, and you would be able to help shape your young boy into it. But because we're in the second and third and fourth generation of single parent lineage in some households, you have daughters that never had a father and never got to see husband-wife interacting that are the children of the same thing, So you have matriarchal households that are now two and three generations deep. And so it's very easy for them to not hold some of those value systems and some of those ideals, and so it's missing. So I want to say that first. It's not a knock on anyone, but it is to say that you're not naturally equipped. And if somebody doesn't bring you that equipment, then you're not ready for it. And the way you see things comes from the feminine perspective. And it's not wrong. It's just the feminine perspective. And a child, especially a boy, they're benefited greatly by having the advantage of both the male and female perspective. And so that's how I try to make sure the moms understand where I'm coming from and that I'm not here to knock them. I know they're pulling the lion's share of the work and they're making the difference. And so I want to make sure that I'm bringing something that helps add to their ability to parent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I can keep going. Hey, do you want me to just keep going and take off? Or
Yes.
Or
I am listening to you. No, go ahead. As you're speaking, I'm a visual person. So as you're speaking, I can see single moms with their boys and how some of them interact with their boys. And then how sometimes those boys become of a certain age that they take on a certain persona. I mean, all of a sudden, it's like the boy wants to be the head of the household, or he quickly, maybe it's just innate, that it's just natural for him to take on that role.
Absolutely. So,
you know,
here's the way, because we have a whole bunch of complex issues, right? And a whole world of different dynamics, whether mom is employed, struggling to be employed, living with her mother, all these different dynamics that are going on. So what I do is I embody it in a conversation. And I don't know if I got to mention this with you on the other interviews, but what I call it is the straw man. So if you envision what it is that you have with your husband as your companion, so I kind of group it into five big categories, right? When you have a dad in the home, a husband there, you can consider that person, if you follow the Bible's lead, that's the head for the household and the head for the wife. He's also the companion for the wife. He's also the co-parent, and he's also the provider. Doesn't mean mom doesn't work, but I think traditionally in the Judeo-Christian society, we kind of hold that idea as a basic idea, but we shouldn't fight over it. I just think it's a basic idea. And then last but not least, we consider him the protector. So that's in a household. What happens is the single lady by herself, she still needs that whole component of a man, that whole invested effort that comes out of that companion. And what she does is she constructs a straw man from the people around her so that her two neighbors might be the protector, and they may be watching the home for her and calling her, and they watch the dog when she travels, and they check in on her when the alarm goes off, and they come by and do things. And then there's the provider. She may be leaning on her older brother or her dad, and when her finances come up short, she can tap them and they loan her money, or they help her out here and there, or maybe it's a good friend, but in some form or fashion, that circle. And then there's the co-parent, right? So you have maybe the sister, or maybe it's the mom again, grandma, that's helping, or maybe it's grandpa. You have these other individuals that are filling in parenting to help with it. And then there's the companion part. So the companion, this is interesting. This is the person they share the heavy emotional content with, help with life choices and decisions, and try to talk through what's going on and just give you some adult conversation and stimulation to help deal with life's journey. And then again, the head, right? The head is who's helping to shape this thing. Now, the single woman relies on multiple different individuals to try and meet that need. And so those are all the different people. When we put them all together, I call it, that's the straw man. It's not a real person. Oh. It's accessing all these different people to help bridge the gap in what she needs in managing life because of being a parent alone. Now,
so
here's where
essence, the straw man. Let me interject just 1 minute so I can get a good understanding. But essence, the straw man is the husband or the male figure that is missing from the house.
Yes. Yes.
So it takes all Oh my goodness, that's so important. So it takes all of these people or village just for that one person.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
It takes that setting to help pull together and manage life with the responsibilities of raising children. That's the group that she draws off of to try and do, and she doesn't always have everybody for that group. So some of those areas suffer. Now when we get to the heart of these issues, what happens is the mother sometimes relies on the children. And in this case, the conversation is the boys. So she relies on the boys to fulfill one of those or many or multiple ones of those categories. And so now you're a child in the home and you have an adult level responsibility placed on you. But here's the difference. When you're the parent, it's a responsibility. When you're the child, it's a burden. And it is more than you can bear.
And so could it be that's why we have so many I won't say unhappy men, but just like they get a certain age, they have did so much in the home that by the time they become an adult, they really don't want to be, it's like they're angry all the time.
Absolutely, absolutely. Would you want to raise children for 36 years? If you had to raise your siblings till you were 18 and then you got your girlfriend pregnant and now she's coming up with babies, they are inundated. And they were co-parenting when they didn't know how to co-parent. And so they're very aware that they don't know what they're doing. And it was a very unpleasant atmosphere. It's very difficult, and it's a huge burden because they now have to track their siblings their whole life because they feel like they were the father that the other siblings never had. And so they remain burdened even after they move out of the household. They're still wondering, how's my little sister doing? How's my little brother doing? And these are many times mothers that don't have themselves together. And this boy still feels that heavyweight responsibility for the other siblings. And so this is some of that heavy. And now go back into the companion piece as well. These moms are sometimes unloading their heart on these boys. Well, what's going on with them? Anything from the financial struggles that they're having and how that worry and all those different pains, and to even some moms are sharing their ups and downs in their relationships where, you know, they're breaking up with guys and he did them dirty, and they're sharing all kinds of things that are beyond anything a child can process. And even worse, the child of that mother cannot process it fairly because the mother may be at fault, but he can never understand or express it or work with her. So he's not a true counselor and confidant. He's just a garbage can that she can dump all this heavy stuff on him. And so these things are really, really undermining his development. He can't think straight. All he wants to do is get away from that kind of heavy emotional weight. And so let's go right into what you mentioned. There is one more component, right? It's called the head. He's part of that straw man. And some boys, they end up doing things and going out earning money. Some earn it illegally. Some are earning more than their parent. And then they start paying the bills. And then you start seeing that masculine assertion to where he starts doing whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it. And all these different components some will cause that boy sometimes to trigger and assert that, hey, he's now a leaning post for a female. He's now able to start making some heavyweight input onto how this goes. He's leaving the child role, and he's trying to find some measure of authority in this setting. And so the moms are concerned that now her son is bucking, but this is why. You've thrown him into things that require him to be able to make decisions. And he's trying to grow, and the only way he can see forward is to start trying to manage this situation instead of live through it and grow out of it and go on to other things. And so this is where his dysfunction comes from.
And that's where that conflict comes in.
Absolutely.
I've seen with a moms and son. That's where that conflict comes in, because
absolutely,
unconsciously,
absolutely,
all of this has happened.
Yes.
Excuse me. All of this has happened, and it caused the boy to grow too fast. But would it not make it, I won't say impossible, but very difficult for the boy, once he gets a certain age and he's ready now to raise his family, would that not hurt or make it kind of difficult for him to be the head of that particular family, which is now his family, not his mom, but his family, his wife, his children? Would that make it difficult if the boy has not had any male role models
right
during that
so
whole time period?
So where we get to next is, let's say this happened, and the boy is now up and growing and about to move out of the household. Maybe he's got a girlfriend. There are plenty of ladies that have tried to tell me, well, what's wrong with that? My son got a good job, and he's helping pay the bills, and he should pay bills. And I agree. You should teach him financial input into the household. But it's not his financial burden. You should be doing it to help him learn. And what many of them struggle to admit is they still have those guys sending money back to them even after they move out, because mom didn't get herself grounded. Absolutely, absolutely. I've seen guys take from the child support that they were sending for their own kid to send back money for their mother. And this is what I have to work in for them to understand, that it is a committed relationship for that boy. And so what this whole world of this straw man can and tends to create is what we call emotional incest. And so isn't that a horrible term, emotional incest? But it's true.
Yeah.
His feelings are wrapped up into the nurture. He has a loving platonic, meaning non-sexual, relationship with his mother. It is the same as any other non-sexual relationship. You're providing for her. She's leaning on you for emotional support. You're protecting her. What's the difference? You're co-parenting. You're helping making decisions on how things should go around the house. What's the difference? That's the same as having a male companion. And in his heart, he has that heavyweight attachment. And what the other ladies will report is, when they try to date him, wow, this guy's like, he's dating his mother. He's in a relationship with his mother. And I hear it over and over again. They're in a relationship with their mother. And it's fairly common. And so it undermines him being able to be in a healthy relationship with his girlfriend. And if he does marry, sometimes they still leave their wife in a preeminent place, higher or at least in competition with their wife. And because his mother would never teach him that, right? The mothers are saying, I'm going to always be your mother. They're never saying, son, break away from me, go take care of your wife, she's the priority. They're not saying that. They're saying, I'm your mama. You and that girl may divorce, but I'm going to always be your mother.
That's so unfair. That's all.
Yeah,
right there.
Absolutely. And it is a, and because she has raised him alone, there's a level of extortion behind it where you're making him feel as if he must repay her for raising him and being his parent, and he can never come off of that obligation to be there for her. And regardless of how she conducts her affairs, and many of these mothers don't conduct their financial affairs very well, and they place that burden squarely on that son, and they leave it there. Even when he gets married, they still call on him. He remains that financial provider for them, helping to shoulder that financial burden. She calls with her problems, even dating problems. I've seen that. And so he's bogged down with that emotional incest, and it takes a lot for him to break free. I think one of the saddest things I had to deal with was the guy who was, I think he was approaching 60, and he came across my material, I think my YouTube videos, discussing emotional incest. And he called his daughter and said, because she had introduced it to him, the material, and he said he finally understood what had happened to him with his mother, that he was caught up in that kind of heavyweight emotional bond, and he didn't know how to break free, and it destroyed his marriage. It destroyed his relationship with his son, and the only person he had a relationship with his daughter was with his daughter. And he went back and restored the relationship with his son. And they got the son the book as well. Yeah, and they restored, the sister restored her relationship with the brother, and that family started pulling back together. And, that's a big deal. That is a big deal for me. And he was in bondage. These folks were in bondage. Go ahead.
I didn't want to cut you off because, you know, I enjoy listening to this because it's so much information, and I am so wanting the single mothers to be able to hear this, those who have boys. So, you know, I'm going to have to contact you offline. But we have come to the end of the show, close to the end of the show. If you just would, we have about a minute or so, if you would tell our listening audience how they can contact you and how they can get your book.
Absolutely. You can go on Amazon and search Men Raised by Women, and it's by me, John P. Dennis. You can also look me up on Facebook, John P. Dennis. You can also look up my videos on YouTube under John P. Dennis. And you can, what's really good is I have a blog now. They forced me to blog all my different readers. And so you go to Men Raised by Women .wordpress, menraisedbywomenblog.wordpress.com. You can find me there. And last but not least, you can find me on johnpdennis.com. So if you just start typing John P. Dennis or Men Raised by Women some kind of way, you will find me. I want it to be locatable and searchable so that we can get this message out to folks.
Indeed. So, Mr. Dennis, once again, we thank you so much for being a part of OPM Live Blog Talk Radio. And believe me, this will not be the last time. This is such great information. It helps me because there's periods of my life when I was a single mom, but it helps me listening to you. And I must read the book in depth. Sure.
Yeah.
So, once again, thank you so much for being a part of OPM Live Blog Talk Radio.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Thank you. We would like to thank our sponsors, Vimasi Enterprise, Southern Eagle Music Group, Crevolution Art, and T&D Marketing and Management. To advertise with us, please contact us at area code 901-308-4417, or you may email us at vernavee@vmarshi.com. Leaving you with this, coming from Philippians 4 and 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. This has been OPM Live, where the ordinary is the extraordinary. I am your host, Verna V. Nickelberry, and as always, love, peace, and increase, and be blessed.